Hello there, this is Mark, your fat friend from the Fat and Black Connection, and I'm here to tell you about Anchor. If you haven't heard about it, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many other services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Do me a favor and go download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started on your very own. Good day, everyone. I am Mark, your fat friend.
And I'm James, your black friend.
And this is the Fat and Black Connection,
where we talk about anything and everything. Well, you know, as long as it's interesting to us, of course.
Yes, and today is going to be a show all about our interests.
Yes, sir.
So I've got to say up front, just to make it 100% abundantly clear, and I'm going to say it a couple more times throughout the start of this episode, just to make sure anybody coming in late hopefully catches the notice. But we will be revealing spoilers from stuff. We are done. We're tired of holding back and waiting. Yeah. And it's been painful to start these episodes and want to talk about, you know, what just happened in Kingpin. I'm sorry, spoiler. What happened in Hawkeye last week. So, you know, be forewarned, there are as they say on Splash Mountain, there'll be spoilers ahead. So, so with that being said, I want to start with an update on our fantasy football league, which we've been doing now. It's week 15 of the regular NFL season. And for those of you that are football fans and have been taking in the season, you know that these last 2 weeks have been very painful for teams. Some teams having to go as far as starting their practice quarterback, their practice team quarterback, and actually not looking too terrible yesterday, honestly. The Browns started their practice squad quarterback, and he wasn't great by no means, but he wasn't bad either. Did you happen to catch that yesterday?
No, I didn't catch any football yesterday. I was, needless to say, I've been irritated because, this COVID protocols, man, I understand it, but here's my biggest issue. Last week on Monday, I was leading in my games. Mm-hmm. Then Monday night, only about 2 hours before kickoff, my tight end is placed on COVID protocol. So therefore, I had no tight end. Therefore, got beat. Therefore, I get the notice in my box about, oh, big comeback victory. And I was like, bruh, that was garbage. If my tight end got put on COVID protocol only shortly before the game, there was no way. Plus, it was a Monday night game. There was no way for me to get another tight end in time to be even put in. So everybody already played. So needless to say.
What I'm hearing is a lot of excuses. And what's interesting about the fact that you're making all of these excuses is the fact that you are in dead last.
Not dead last. There's
okay,
a team.
So hold on. Team. Hold on. We've got a preface. So when we started this fantasy football league, we ideally wanted to have as many people who wanted to join as possible. And 10 seemed like a nice round number, and we had 10.
Yeah.
And then the draft came, and a person missed the draft for whatever reason. Not my fault. It was scheduled, you know, a week out. The person had time to get their act together to be at the draft. They claimed they had issues. Okay, well, again, not my problem. Suck it up and work with what you got. I was in the draft, and I didn't get a great team. You know, the person who had the number one pick overall isn't doing that great. So it was very frustrating, because then this person decided, well, since I didn't get to draft my team, I'm just going to get rid of all the players. So they started dropping them, trying to get rid of them off of their team. And all that did was give people who were quick on the trigger the ability to pick up some of these other players before I was, as the commissioner, able to revoke the ability for that person to do that. But still, it was very frustrating. So the only option that we really had was to then turn this team into a bye week, so to speak. So I removed all of the starters. I kept the players that were there. I filled out the bench so with the best possible players that were still available. That way it was like they were a team, and that way you or I or the 8-7 other people couldn't get some of these really talented players. But some of the damage was already done. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, this team is in dead last because they've never started a single player. And so therefore they're 0-14 and will be 0-15 after today. But you, on the other hand, have had a full team pretty much all along the way. You've started players every week. Yeah, you've had some bad scenarios, some bad beats, if you will. But just for clarification, you are 5-9 as of right now. And your current game this week looks like you may win.
Yeah.
You currently already have more points than your opponent is projected to get. So that's good. And you're still projected to get like another 35 points. So
yeah.
So you're likely going to end up finishing the season in a dead last tie at 6-9.
Yeah.
So I got to ask, what happened?
Like I said, there was a couple weeks where I was scheduled to win, and I was projected to win, and then games happened, and that points didn't add up. They weren't getting the job done. So I mean, I was moving people around and trying.
There was
to
also
make...
a couple weeks you were projected to lose, and you ended up winning, right?
I think I was only projected to lose. I know I was projected to lose week one, which actually happened. And I was projected to lose like one other time through, like one or two other times, but I was able to sometimes move players around and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't even know, man. Like, it was just a struggle. Like, just trying to getting points and moving people around. And then I had some good players that just constantly were questionable. And so I'd kind of wait and hold out. And, but there was the one week that, he was questionable and then out. Right before, and I checked it the night before. It said questionable still. And then when I woke up Sunday, I didn't notice it said out until the games had already started. And so there was no way for me to switch out. So
still with the excuses, which is entertaining, don't get me wrong. But I mean, you were bad, and it happens. Like, you had a bad season. But rather than owning it and being like, you know what, I'm going to come back better next year, you're still making excuses. And that really disappoints me, friend. I'd like to just see you own it and say, you know what, I was bad, but I'm going to rock it next year.
Oh, no, I'm all about making these excuses. No, I mean, like, yeah, no, definitely. It was what it was. You know, I picked who I wanted. You know, I, there was, some of these guys came out and did amazing work. Some of them I'd heard of, but not really looked at. And throughout the season, they've been doing great stuff. So, you know, I mean, Cooper Kupp, bro, I didn't even know who that guy was, but that guy has been going like a madman all season.
He's been one of my
highest point leaders, like throughout the entire season.
So. One of the stats that's interesting is where it shows waivers and moves. You know, how much movement did you have on your team? And you really didn't do a whole lot. And so
I didn't do a whole lot of waivers and stuff like that. For like bye weeks and things like that, I did some. I picked up some wide receivers and like running backs, a couple of running backs, things like that throughout the season as I needed to because of, in IR list, I had a couple guys on IR. I had a couple guys that were questionable. So I was trying to make some moves that way. But for the most part, I kept most of the people that I started with, I kept throughout the entire season.
Yes, and I question whether or not maybe some of that is why you did so poorly. Just a thought for next year. And then let's talk about the other end of the spectrum, which obviously is me. I am currently seated in the number one spot. Don't know how that happened. As I mentioned a little while ago, I had a really bad draft. The only areas where I felt like I was sitting kind of strong was my quarterback and tight end, which, you know, for my quarterbacks, I had you know, the Ravens quarterback who's now out. And I had Tom Brady, and I honestly didn't expect Tom Brady to be my primary. I expected him to be my backup, but I've ended up using Brady significantly throughout the season. And unfortunately this last week, really hurt me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Brady got shut out by the
Super
Saints.
Shut out.
It was painful. Actually,
it wasn't even really a super shutout. I mean, they only got 9 points, but still, that's a shutout, which hasn't happened since, what, I think 2015?
I believe it was 15 years since Tom Brady had been shut out again. So.
Maybe. So longer than that. Okay.
Yeah. So, ultimately, I'm number one. I'm sitting at 11-3. It looks like I'm going to win week 15, so I'll be at 12-3. I'm in a first place tie with one of our players, one of our friends of the show.
Who are you leading points wise? Are you still?
As of right now, yes. And it looks like I'm going to end up being number one in points. And so I will have the number one overall seed going into the playoffs. So you're done after today. You don't even have to worry about it anymore.
I know.
That's, I guess, a blessing, maybe?
You know, it is what it is.
Okay, well, so needless to say, the Fat and Black Fantasy Football League is moving ahead. We're going into the playoffs starting this week, week 16, and the finals will be for week 17, and we'll see who ends up coming out on top. I feel like I've got a shot looking at who's in the top four. And going back to the comment earlier about the quitter team and how that person threw a hissy fit because they weren't there for the draft, the person that's in fourth place right now and is likely going to make it into the playoffs.
He wasn't there for the draft either.
That's correct. So, yeah. You know, it's trying to work with what you got and trying to make it better if you can. You got to at least try. So I will say that the person that dropped out on us will never be welcome for one of our leagues in the future, just because I can't risk it, you know? It's not fair to the other 9 people. Dam is checking in with a hoot because Brian is that person in fourth place that was not at the draft and still is doing pretty well. So good on you, Brian. So something I wanted to talk about that actually Brian brought up with us a little while ago is the Disney Star Wars Star Cruiser. And there has been a lot of information that has come out about this ship. There have been a ton of cancellations. It had originally, it was booked solid for like the first 3 months after it was going to launch. Right. Now not so much. Really? Yeah. So there's been an extremely poorly reviewed or seen video that was made with some ABC kid star or whatever, that kind of did not cast a really good light on the ship, and Disney has pulled it down from everywhere. You can't watch this video officially anywhere.
I just want to know who this kid was because that, like, is it because
it doesn't matter?
Is it because of the kid, or is it because just like it wasn't made great, or
I don't know. It doesn't matter. All that matters is I originally wanted to go do this thing when we do our trip in 23 to Disney World, but I think I'm going to have to wait on it just because I don't know if I want to make that kind of major investment for a 2-day cruise.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's what I was saying earlier. When we talked about it before, I was saying, all right, that's cool. Like, they have these packages where, you know, you can stay at a Disney resort and then do your cruise, or you can do your cruise and then do like a resort thing. That's what I was kind of hoping they would do with this. But it's, from what it seemed, is that you have to book the Star Cruiser, and that's only what, I think it's 2 days, 3 nights or whatever. And then you're done. And then you kind of have to book your own other hotel or whatever. And I was like, what? Like, I mean, for the money that you're paying, I get it. It's the whole story that's kind of built around you. And there's the whole, I think the food and stuff is free. And you know, the shuttles and all that kind of stuff. That
it's not free, it's included.
Or like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the food is that's what I meant by free, is it's included. But like, I get that. But for the amount that it was, nah. Like, I mean, I would much rather have it to where, you know, I'm paying that, but that also includes, you know, so you do that and that's 2 days, and then, you know, like you get an additional 2 days or whatever at some like Pop Century where I stayed before, which is like a, you know, one of their lower, or not lower end, but economy hotel that's their property. And so that's what I was thinking, that, you know, that should be in that price, but nah.
So I got to ask a question because you made a comment. Tell me how you stay at a hotel for 2 days and 3 nights.
Or whatever, 3 days, 2 nights, I don't know, whatever.
Oh, okay. I mean, I wasn't sure if you actually thought that was a thing, and so I wanted to understand how that works.
No, I said it wrong, but yeah, no, I'm not thinking it's a thing. I know, like, but I was just, I don't know. I'm just a little disappointed by that price point. And especially if, you know, there's reports coming out that it's not good. And I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some growing pains with it. I mean, I would think that would be with something this major, there would be some growing pains. But yeah, I would have thought, especially with Disney, they would have probably got that stuff kind of worked out a little bit better.
Yeah, that's what you would think. I guess we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. The one thing I will say is people are complaining a lot about the accommodations, like the hotel room. And I'm going to argue that.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a cruise. You don't spend time in your room except to sleep. So yeah. No, the rooms are not lavish. They're not huge. And I think that's part of the immersion of what the story is, if you will, for the overall.
Yeah. And if you look on, I mean, I don't know, I guess, cause this is supposed to be some kind of, like high-end cruise ship or whatever, you know, like cruise ship, I can kind of understand why people would be upset. But at the same time, like Mark said, if you've ever been on a cruise, I mean, I think the only time I ever spent in my room was for the couple hours that I'd fall asleep. And then from the time I woke up, you know, showered, got dressed, everything else. I was out the door, and you know, I wasn't coming back. But you know, after, I mean, I was out all day.
And just to be clear, so everybody knows, night. The cheapest option for the two nights on this cruise, if you will, it's for two people for the two night cruise, it's $4,809. Or if it makes you feel any better, $1,209 per person per night.
Say that again.
$1,209 per person per night.
Yeah. Psych.
Yeah. So, I mean, even if you've got kids, and you're going, you know, you're doing, you got two kids and you're doing the four person, it's $6,000.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, and Brian said, Goldberg star, Sean Gibran. Oh. So thanks for calling that out, Brian.
Is that the younger kid, I guess? I don't know. Anyways, but yeah.
Is he the one that was, abused by the guy that's no longer on the show? Anyways, moving on. So a couple things that did come out since our last episode that, of course, I love to talk about. We've been given the official trailer for January 1st, the 20th anniversary reunion of the Harry Potter cast.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of interesting. When the films were coming out, I wasn't interested. I think it wasn't until around the fourth or fifth film that I actually went and saw one in the theater. The girl I was dating way back then, she had read the books and was interested. And so she, you know, got me to watch the movies, and I thought it was fine. I will say I went back and rewatched all the films earlier this year.
Pretty good.
And yeah, definitely better watched, you know, binge, so to speak.
Yeah. I actually, the only Harry Potter film that I saw was it actually, I'm sorry. The only Harry Potter film that I saw in theaters was Deathly Hallows. Yeah, Deathly Hallows Part 2. Everything else I had seen through like cable and whatnot. So
So are you interested to see this reunion special? Have you seen any of the other HBO specials like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or Friends?
No, I did. I haven't watched them. I haven't watched those just because I totally forgot about them. I mean, I have HBO Max now. And so I do want to go back and watch the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air one. Don't care about Friends. The Harry Potter one, I'd be interested to see, you know, because I've seen what a couple of them look like since those films. But it'd be kind of interesting to see, you know, kind of see what they look like now, see what they're up to, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to watch it. I don't know if I'll watch it on January 1st, but I'm going to watch it just because like I said, when I went back and rewatched them this year, I definitely enjoyed it a lot better. It was painful the first like one or two films because the kids' acting was really bad, but they did get better, to be fair.
I chalk that up to them being like kind of thrust into this whole thing, kind of, you know, the, I mean, I think, what was it? Rupert, I think his name is, the one who was Ron,
mm-hmm.
and Emma Watson, who was Hermione. They were like the only two, well, at least out of that core three, so Harry, Ron, and Hermione. They were like, they had already been cast, and they've been already working for a little bit, and then with Daniel Radcliffe. When I heard what that story broke down, I was like, "Ooh, man, that is lucky timing." But yeah, I mean, they'd already been working, so I think, and it's a huge undertaking as well. I mean, those are.
Harry I find Potter it interesting that you're big. Willing to sit here and defend these kids, but you're not willing to defend what's the kid's name from Star Wars Episode One. I'm not
Listen,
saying
I tried to defend that kid. I tried. And then like everything else came out that was just like the kid, he froze up. Like though they didn't freeze up. I mean, like they did. Like, I think honestly, like, I understand. I, and like I said, I understand that Star Wars is a big deal, and you playing Anakin Skywalker as a child is a big deal. But it is what it is. But yeah, no, I personally liked the first few movies. And they weren't great. But I didn't mind them. I think they did a decent job for what they had to do to get the franchise started.
So Disney dropped a coming in 22 trailer, kind of showing, you know, all the projects that they have coming up that are theoretically going to release in 22. And something that I caught in that trailer that I hadn't heard about or seen before was a very quick image of a logo. And did you happen to see it, James?
I didn't see this.
Oh, okay. Well, good on you for paying attention. There's the logo.
Chippendale's Rescue Rangers. Bring it back.
Yes. So.
Oh, wait. Hold on. It's not. Is it? I really hope it's not that crappy animation they've been doing recently.
I don't know. I would imagine if you've seen the Chippendale cartoons that they've done recently, I would imagine it's going to be in that style. But who knows? Because they're doing new Mickey cartoons in multiple different styles. So it's hard to say, right? So
because I liked, don't get me wrong. I mean, I was a huge fan of, because that was Disney. That was old school Disney Afternoon. And if you don't know Disney Afternoon, you're too young. I really liked the original Rescue Rangers. Matter of fact, I had a hamster that I named Gadget. I mean, I know Gadget wasn't a hamster, but.
And I do got to call out. We actually do have a viewer watching us on Twitch. So yeah. Welcome to the show. Our first Twitch viewer. So that's exciting.
Hello.
I loved Rescue Rangers as a kid. I'm excited to see that they're coming back. I agree with you. A lot of that's going to be dependent on the animation.
Yeah. And we'll see. Like I said, that's one of the things that some of the animation that they've been doing recently for stuff. I used to watch like a lot of Cartoon Network. I used to watch a lot of just animation stuff in general. But then all of a sudden, like, they came out with this new art style that looked like it just looked super kiddie. And I guess some of the stuff used to be like, you know, because adults were watching with their kids or whatever. So, like, you know, old school Animaniacs and things like that, that animation was good. And then all of a sudden, like, just in the past, you know, 10 years, a lot of stuff went anime, which I didn't really have an issue with in some cases. Or it just went really kind of oddball, and I didn't really like that art. Like, I really liked Teen Titans, for example. Teen Titans was one of my favorites, and then they came out with this, they canceled that and went with this Teen Titans Go, and I was just like, what is this? Like, this is, no. And so, like I said, I don't know. A lot of this new animation stuff, we'll see, but, you know. That's, like you said, it's really dependent if I'm going to watch that show, if it's like this new animation they've been doing with the Chippendale cartoons, or if they're going to kind of go more traditional with it.
Yeah. I gotta ask you a question.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of hand, foot, and mouth disease?
Is that where, I think I've heard
it's of it. It's a yes or no. It's really...
I think so.
So as a lot of our listeners, viewers know, I have a young daughter, and hand, foot, and mouth is a disease that's typically around kids get. The symptoms are they get a bit of a fever, maybe a sore throat, and then they get some spots on their hands, feet, and around their mouth. Hence hand, foot, mouth. Yeah. Really quickly, before I go in too much, Tyrus calls out the new DuckTales was horrible. Not excited for Rescue Rangers.
That's what I'm talking about. Before we get back to yours, that was an animation thing for me.
Mm-hmm. I heard that. I haven't watched it at all, and the main reason was because I saw the trailer and I was like, I don't think I can do this. So,
and I was not thrilled about they redid the theme song, and the theme song is kind of garbage, but whatever.
So back to the hand, foot, mouth.
Yeah, hand, foot, mouth.
So my kid goes to a daycare, right? And she's around 15, 20 other kids all day, every day.
Disease-ridden.
Right? Any one of these kids gets it, and likely every other kid's going to get it. So a couple weeks back, my kid got it, had to be out of daycare for basically a week. And when we took her to the doctors, they told us, we asked, you know, should we be worried? And they're like, no, it, you know, adults almost never get it. Don't worry, blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool.
Well, did your wife end up getting it?
No.
You got it. And the medical hits keep coming.
Yes. So now for adults, it's actually worse. You might not get the spots so much, which I didn't get any spots on my face. I didn't get any spots on my feet. I did get some on my hands. And what's frustrating is they told us, you know, oh, they don't hurt. When they were talking about our kid, they were like, don't worry. They don't hurt. They just show up. That's a lie. They don't feel good. I wouldn't say that they actively hurt. I had some on my hands. You might still be able to see the remnants of one there. But what they kind of feel like,
it's like chicken pox?
No, it kind of feels like a burn. Like the day after you burn yourself and how the skin's super sensitive and slightly raised.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it was. And they lasted for almost a week on my hands.
And that's the only place you got them? Did you get the fever and everything else?
Oh, yeah. I had a wicked fever for like 2 days. I had a sore throat for like 2 days.
Oh, dang.
So it was not good times. So I'm obviously some medical miracle because adults don't typically get it, but this guy did.
You are the one. Wait, hold on. Here's my thing then. If your kid had to stay out for almost a week, then that means that some parent sent their kid to school with it?
Yeah, so it's hard to know, right? Because your kid might just have a cough in the morning or might have a sore throat in the morning, and it might not be anything.
Yeah, so
if they don't have a fever, if they haven't been exhibiting some symptoms for multiple days, you're not going to keep them home, you know?
I guess, yeah, that's true.
And so while I don't blame the other parents for getting my kids sick, I also would say, pay attention to your kids. Know what's going on with them. Because I knew, so she was home over the weekend, and that's when she started developing the symptoms. Mm-hmm. And we knew pretty much right away something was not right, because my kid doesn't like to sleep. My kid likes to play. My kid likes to do stuff. And so she wanted to sleep. She was telling us, I'm tired. I want to go take a nap. Okay, something's wrong.
Who are you?
Yeah. So don't get me wrong.
What have you done with my daughter?
Yeah. From a selfish standpoint, the week of her being sick was great because she wanted to sleep a lot. But unfortunately, it also meant that both my wife and I had to work from home so that we could switch back and forth, keeping an eye on her. And then I got sick. And so my wife was primarily stuck watching her. And I was laid out. I was in bed from pretty much Wednesday through Saturday. Not last week, but the week before. And I didn't bring this up before because I kind of wanted to let some time pass and really get over it. Cause it was bad. I had like 102 degree temperature, and it was painful. And now since then, I still have not been feeling well. These last couple of days I have felt like absolute garbage. My body, I'm just weak. I'm tired. I can't seem to get warm. My temperature was, when I took it yesterday, was 93.
I'm sorry, for somebody who hates being cold.
Yeah. I can't get warm. That's why I'm sitting here in a coat. And like, normally you guys see me and I'm, you know, in a t-shirt or I'm in like my pajamas, but like, I've got a coat on, I've got the temperature up high, and I can't seem to catch some warmth. So it's very frustrating. I have no idea what's going on.
It's been a year for you.
It has been, and I haven't, as far as I'm aware, had COVID. So, so yeah. Moving on, this is the part where I've got to put it out there again. As we said at the top of the show, There'll be spoilers ahead. Warning. We're not holding back anymore. Warning. So
warning.
This is your opportunity. If you want to drop off now, we are going to talk about Hawkeye very briefly, and we are going to talk about Spider-Man No Way Home. So if you haven't seen Hawkeye season, episode 5, drop off now.
Bye.
And if you haven't seen Spider-Man No Way Home, drop off now. But please come back and listen to this later or watch this later after you've watched those.
Well, I'm gonna be straight up honest with you. I'm behind on Hawkeye. I've watched.
Steven's out.
Yeah. Bye, Steven. What was it? I think I haven't seen episode 5.
What?
I've been so like working and everything else. I'm behind on a lot of stuff.
Okay,
we've talked about this before. So,
Brian's out too.
Well, the only reason is, and Brian's probably out because that dude still is he finally caught up on S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because God knows, I made a comment months ago
about Daisy.
Yeah, and he was like, "Oh, thanks for spoilers." I was like, "Bruh, that was like I didn't know that somebody." Well, I'm sure there's other people out there too, but like, if you plan on watching S.H.I.E.L.D., I was like, "Bro, you should have been on top of that." Because like the first few seasons actually coincided with the MCU, and then all of a sudden it went sideways. Like after Civil War, or not Winter Soldier, but yeah, I was just like, what? But whatever.
Well, I'm sorry. I said I'm going to be spoiling, and the fact that you haven't seen Hawkeye episode 5 is your fault.
Yeah.
I will say Hawkeye episode 5, and as I said, we're only going to talk about it briefly. It was fine. The episode overall kind of didn't feel like it did a whole lot to develop the story, which is disconcerting because we're moving into
the finale
tomorrow.
Oh, one more left?
Yeah, the finale is tomorrow. So Tyrus, he doesn't care about Hawkeye. I will only say that from everything I've heard is Hawkeye episode 6 coming out tomorrow may have some ties into Spider-Man. So
I would suggest
Tyrus that you at the very least, binge watch or have it on in the background. Like when you're driving the buses around, listen to the audio or something. But with that being said, the only thing I really have to say about Hawkeye episode 5 that is fantastic is in the closing seconds of the episode, we find out that Yelena, the Black Widow who is Natasha's sister, she's been hunting Clint Barton, and she's kind of been sent down a different path a little bit, and she's trying to look into who's hired her to put this hit out on Clint Barton, basically. And turns out it may have been Kate Bishop's mom, because she is seen photographed with none other than Netflix Marvel's Daredevil Kingpin.
Yes.
So, awesome scene. What's his name? Vincent D'Onofrio or whatever. It was a second and all you see is like the top of his head as he's talking to Kate Bishop's mom. And I had a feeling this was the direction that it was going to go, that Kate Bishop's mom works for the Kingpin in some way. I had a feeling this is where we were going. So I think episode 6 tomorrow, the finale, is going to be amazing. I agree 100% with Tyrus. Best Wilson Fisk ever, hands down.
There's only been really two.
So, well, no.
Oh, no, there was. Yeah, no, I think there's only been two because the other one was Michael Clark Duncan in the Affleck movie.
I mean, if we're only talking about movies, then okay, but there have been video game versions. There have been, you know. I think the Spider-Man video game
Kingpin
was really good.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying, I every time I've seen Kingpin in video games or anything else, it's always been the huge, you know, kingpin, not like a actual actor. And I will agree, like Vincent D'Onofrio, that was, he played it so subtly, but then like when he got heated, and it you didn't want to be in that man's path when he got mad.
And let's just recall also, Liev Schreiber plays Kingpin in the Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, voiced him. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So all I'm saying is I think best Wilson Fisk ever, but I don't even think Michael Clark Duncan is number two, to be honest.
Oh, no. I mean, I definitely agree with you there. I mean, like I was thrilled to see him in that movie because I really like Michael Clark, or I should say, well, I still like him. He's no longer with us, but I still like him. But yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with Tyrus. What I mean is if he has solidified himself in the role, can't see anybody else doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree 100%. As of right now, I don't see how anybody else can do it. And so I'm glad they brought him back. Now, to follow that up with Spider-Man No Way Home, the first huge spoiler that I'm just going to drop is, since it's tied in,
yes,
is finally, yes, after all the rumors, after everything, it is true.
He is
Charlie
there.
Cox is
he
back
is there. He
as Matt Murdock.
There. Bro, when he showed up on screen, I think the entire theater was like, yeah.
Yeah. I was in a theater of people that didn't seem to get too excited. I was excited at different points throughout the film. There was some others, but it felt like it was mostly families that maybe hadn't seen any of the other films. And it's like,
bro, actually, if it's families, that Netflix series was not for children.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not only that, like the one thing I'm going to say up front about this film is that I think they did a really good job. If you had never seen the Amazing Spider-Man films or the Sam Raimi Spider-Man films, I think you could have watched this and still extremely enjoyed it.
Oh yeah.
Now, conversely, if you had seen those series, you're going to enjoy this a whole hell of a lot more.
Yeah, like the only one of those films that I did not see was the very first Amazing Spider-Man. I saw Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Why would you watch 2 but not 1?
It was just that's the one I had. I didn't have Amazing Spider-Man.
Why would you buy 2 without having seen 1?
Because it was free. And it was free, and the other movies I had to choose from, I wasn't thrilled about. So that's why I chose that one. I was kind of looking for one, and then I kind of just stopped. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I should probably maybe see it. I'll watch it eventually.
Okay, fair enough. So that was the first major spoiler, if you will, of the film. Up until that point.
catching a brick, too. That was great.
Oh, well, and, you know, Jenny... My wife, she hadn't seen the Daredevil Marvel series. And so she didn't know who he was. And so when he caught that brick, she was like, what was that? And so after the film, you know, I explained to her, and she had never seen Ben Affleck's Daredevil. Thank God.
Luckily.
Yeah. Yikes. So ultimately, what I'm really curious to see, because as I said, I have heard that tomorrow's episode of Hawkeye may have Spider-Man No Way Home implications. Don't know what that means, whether that means we may see Charlie Cox, we may see something happen that ties into what happened in the film.
Actually, before you go on, I did notice as they were swinging through the city, the Rogers poster was up. Rogers, yep, the musical was up. So I was like, yep, oh, that's cool.
Okay. And if you also paid attention, at the end of the film, it was snowing. So I think we're in winter, in the holiday season, likely. And there was some Christmas music playing as well, mm-hmm, while Peter was going around getting his new apartment and stuff. So Yeah, I don't know. I think that we may see something extremely interesting tomorrow with Hawkeye. So I would highly advise getting caught up if you haven't, and watching tomorrow. Tyrus calls out, and accurately, if you hadn't seen The Amazing Spider-Man, you wouldn't understand the MJ falling part.
No, actually, I got that. I understood that completely. Because they actually show that in, like, they show that in Spider-Man 2, Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah. So, but there's so much to talk about with this film. And so I don't know how to unpack it all in the short amount of time we have left, but let's start at the top of the film. We pick up where the film left off, the last film left
right
off.
Exactly right where it left off.
We're basically in Times Square. Peter Parker is announced as being Spider-Man, and a crowd is circling around MJ. Tell me, for you, obviously during the opening Marvel fanfare, where normally we would have music, we didn't have music.
It was all audio of
the fight with Mysterio. Yeah,
right.
Tell me what you were thinking, feeling in that moment.
I was like, oh snap, are we picking up? We're picking up right then? And I was like, they just jumped right into it. It wasn't, because normally, yeah, like you said, it would be that Marvel fanfare. And I was like, what's going on? Like, why is it this, like, they're playing back this audio and such. And then, like, it wasn't, for some reason, he attacked me, blah, blah. I was like, wait, are they just jumping straight into this? Double. And I was, from the jump, I was like, let's go.
Yeah. And so basically from that moment till we get to the Matt Murdock scene, it's very fast paced in telling us, okay, people are upset with Spider-Man. They want to arrest him. They want to find out why he killed Mysterio. And so it's kind of almost like a montage. It's very quick. He's in the police precinct answering questions. And
it doesn't help that Jameson is that Jameson. He's always been that pain in the side of that thorn, if you will. But this one, he's just constantly like, it's what he did in with the newspaper, but now he's doing it with like a blog, if you will. And that's the thing too,
it's called a vlog video.
Sorry. How did that man have money, or did all of a sudden he went from a studio into like a way nicer studio and or like a basement doing stuff to like a studio with a helicopter? Like, what?
So again, I have no idea how long happens from the start of the film till that Matt Murdock scene. It seems like it's over a series of weeks, probably.
Yeah.
So, you know, J. Jonah Jameson is the person that reveals who Spider-Man is. So likely some investors were like, hey, we want to throw you some money. Let's take this up a notch.
No, oh, yeah, I could see that.
So to me, that makes a lot of sense. But more or less what we're seeing in that couple of minutes is we get called back to Happy and Aunt May and they're breaking up. It was nice. It was fun, but yeah, it's over now. Poor Happy.
Trying to crush the door on him. I just want to come back.
It was nice. It was nice in that first couple minutes of the film to see everyone and it not needing to be an introduction. It's just boom, boom, boom. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
And then we get the Matt Murdock scene. And you don't, the only thing you get is, you know, thank you, Mr. Murdock, you know, and him telling them your case is pretty much dropped. Happy, you might want to get a lawyer. And then a brick flies through the window and Matt Murdock exhibits his powers and catches the brick midair.
I have a really good lawyer.
Yes, that line was awesome. Kind of disappointed we didn't see him again at any point, but I feel like...
I think that's all. You just needed to drop him in there.
Yeah, it was...
It's to let us know. It's to let Marvel fans know that they did keep him, because there was speculation that... everybody from the Netflix, because the Netflix shows were not MCU tied. They talked about the skies opening up, but it was like that was it. They didn't make any reference to MCU or anything like that. They were their own standalone thing that got combined into the Defenders. I really like the Defenders, but again, Iron Fist, not so much, but whatever. When those basically ended, they basically kind of said, we're done with these characters. And so we thought, well, dang, you've just created a great Daredevil. I would hope they would bring somehow maybe tie in Luke Cage and Jessica Jones. I really like those. Jessica Jones was kind of her own thing, but Luke Cage I definitely like too. So I mean, I hope they might bring them in somehow.
I don't see how you could, because how do you justify Mashiala Ali as Blade when he's already played what was his name? Cotton Gin or whatever?
Cotton, yeah. So but he's dead in that. So
oh, so when he died, he got bit by a vampire and now he's back as Blade. Is that what we're going to try and sell?
No, I'm just saying, like, you don't need to, it's comic books. You don't need to explain it. You don't need to explain that. Because Blade was born as a vampire. He wasn't born as a human.
I don't think you get to do that in this day and age. If you can tell that the actor is the same person as they played another part, then I don't think you can just walk away from that. You have to address it. I mean, there are MCU actors that have been in multiple parts, but
yeah, like actually it's funny because Chris Evans was Human Torch and then or Johnny Blaze, if you will.
Okay,
and
I said MCU specific.
Oh,
that is not MCU.
That's right. Well, sorry, I thought you were talking about other MCU actors that have been in other Marvel stuff.
No, there have actually been other actors that have played multiple roles in the MCU. For example, Gemma Chan played Cersei in the Immortals, mm-hmm. Eternals. Sorry. You remember who that is?
Yeah.
She's basically the main one, takes over the team, right, so to speak. She also played, she was a member of the Star Force in Captain Marvel. She played Minerva.
Oh.
Huh?
I have to go back and watch. I think I know who you're talking about, but yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I know exactly who you're talking about now. Okay.
So all I'm saying is they haven't officially said that the Netflix stuff isn't canon, but I think you have to pick and choose, because again, I don't think you can have Cottonmouth being Blade if it's the same universe, because I think too many people will pick at it and complain and yada, yada, yada. So, and obviously the one other quick one to call out is Stan Lee played many, many parts. So, but getting back to Homecoming,
Stan Lee was in everything that he created. He was a part of a lot of stuff.
Getting back to No Way Home. So, we see a bit of a reprieve for Spider-Man, in that, you know, he's no longer being charged with anything. But unfortunately, there, as Matt Murdock does call out, there is the court of public opinion. And what happens is, you know, the goal of the main three, Ned, MJ, and Peter, is to get into MIT. And unfortunately, they all get denied because of their entanglement, if you will, with Peter.
Yeah.
And so this helps to, again, push the story forward to where Peter's going to go and try and convince this vice president or whatever of MIT to take Ned and MJ. And that's when everything goes sideways.
Super sideways.
Because just before this scene, we had Peter at Dr. Strange's house chilling, you know, hey buddy, can you make it so that nobody remembers me?
Except help a spider out. Yeah, but he can't talk it.
Well, no, I need MJ to remember me, and I need Ned
to remember me. I need Aunt May.
Five times he's changing the spell. Now, we've never seen Doctor Strange have difficulty, performance anxiety, if you will. And so it was interesting to see that moment because, you know, as we know, he was the Sorcerer Supreme until the blip happened. And we find out that Wong is now the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But you would think that nothing would have changed for Stephen Strange. He would still be as powerful as he has been with the same abilities. So I get that they mentioned that the spell is a difficult one and walks the line with dark magic or whatever, but I feel like, he shouldn't have had such a hard time with that spell, regardless of Peter, or he should have just threw him in the mirror dimension, got rid of him while he finished casting the spell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I honestly, and a lot of stuff, I was like, bro, if you, okay, I understand you said you had a hard time, like you and Aunt May kind of, it didn't go well when she found out that you were Spider-Man. But I think overall, like if they forget you're Spider-Man, you can reveal your Spider-Man and it would be okay. Like, or you don't have to reveal that you're Spider-Man to them and you try and make that work. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So spell goes awry. Strange is able to stop it, so to speak. Kind of contains it the way that we see the spell being contained at the end of What If, the end of that series,
yeah.
Where we see Ultron Supreme and evil Doctor Strange kind of being encapsulated in a spell. So very similar there, perhaps yeah. A call out. And then pretty much from that point forward, everything goes haywire.
Yeah.
That Tyrus calls out. That would have been the better call. Hey, Doctor Strange, can you have everyone forget Mysterio?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that actually makes sense. I love how he was like, wait, you had me do a spell before you even talk? He's like, I didn't even know you could talk to the emissions people.
Yeah. I love the dynamic between classic. The two of them. You know, you don't got to call me Miss Sir.
Okay, yeah, Steven. We saved the universe.
No, that doesn't feel right either.
Still feels weird. And then afterwards, no, you call me Sir.
Yes. Yeah. I really enjoyed the dynamic between them as much as I think I enjoyed the dynamic between Peter and Tony.
Actually, you know what that reminded me of? That reminded me of Tony with the kid.
Harley?
The kid. Harley in 3.
Yeah.
That's kind of what that reminded me of.
Yeah. So now things go sideways. Peter's now going to try and convince this MIT person to take Ned and MJ, and Doc Ock shows up out nowhere.
Just pulling car, like just stop destroying stuff. That's unnecessary. So unnecessary. Destroying the bridge and stuff, man. I'd be so mad if I worked in New York as like a civil engineer or anything, that's job security right there, baby.
Absolutely. And, you know, the film from that point forward, the one thing I was concerned about going into this film was how are you going to tie all of these people together? How are you going to make it make sense?
And they did a fabulous job of that.
Yeah. Just the sheer fact that we knew going into the film, we knew that there was going to be Doc Ock. We knew that there was going to be the Green Goblin.
Green Goblin.
How was that going to work? Because Doc Ock was after Green Goblin had already died.
Right.
So it was very curious. And I think they did a fantastic job explaining that, you know, these baddies, so to speak, were pulled out of their universes pretty much at the moment of their death.
Yeah. So you had, and then the explanation with Lizard, Electro and Sandman. Those were all like how, because like I remember now I go back looking at the poster and I'm like, okay, I see the tentacle for Doc Ock, and that was obvious due to the trailer. And then I noticed in the poster that you see electricity, you see lightning, you see like dust particles, and then I think you see like either like a pumpkin bomb or something for Green Goblin. I don't really know, but that poster made a whole lot more sense just a few weeks ago when I actually saw it again. I was like, oh, okay, I get it now. But yeah, my concern was as how are you going to get all these guys into one movie and make it make sense?
And yeah, and the film went a completely different direction than I was expecting. I was expecting that we were going to get Sinister Six, especially with what the ending of Venom brought.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
I thought for sure we were going to get the Sinister Six. And instead, what we have is like a redemption story of Peter trying to heal these people so that they can go back to their universes and
hopefully live.
Be better. Yeah, and yeah. Live.
Because he says when Doctor Strange tells him their basically destiny is to die at the hands of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, no, I can't have that. And which that was a pretty cool scene to watch them tussling over the box, the spell.
I feel like up to that point of the film, it kind of went a little bit slower than I would have liked, but I felt like from that point of the film forward, it was amazing. Up to that moment, it was good, but I feel like from that point forward, the film really just grew legs and was awesome.
Yeah.
So a couple things, we're running short on time, just to quickly call out. Tell me how you felt when you saw Andrew Garfield come through the portal that evidently Ned is magical and can open portals.
Hey man. When his grandmother said they have magic. So when I think it also helped that he, you know, when he had the ring or whatever. But no, I was like, oh snap. And then you know, they do it again and Tobey Maguire came through and I was like, boy, you got old.
Yeah, Andrew. And so I thought that was interesting that all the villains came through at the moment of their death, where Toby and Andrew come through, it seems like, at whatever moment it actually was in their universe.
Yeah, I think, it looked like, because Tobey Maguire, he had gotten older. He'd obviously had some, he'd obviously was having some pains.
Yeah, because as you saw, they de-aged Doc Ock, they de-aged Willem Dafoe. Like, they could have de-aged Toby, but yeah, they didn't, which I liked.
I think that was perfect because they went on to, you know, because they survived, of course, and they went on and you know, still had regrets and things like that. So like, you know, because he talks about Tobey Maguire, you know, it was kind of a funny scene, but it was weird because, you know, he's like, so did you have a best friend? Yeah, he died in my arms while, because he tried to kill me or whatever. And I was like, oh, snap. Mm-hmm. And Ned is kind of like, oh, I promise I'll never go evil on you, things like that.
Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Very little bit, because we got to move quick.
Yeah. Overall, wonderful seeing those guys. Because, I mean, because there had been nothing about it. They'd said, oh, they're there. And then it was like, oh, no, it was just rumors and stuff like that. So, but it was actually good to really see them.
How did you feel about Aunt May dying?
It threw me. It really threw me. Because I was just, that Aunt May dying is not one of those things that, you know, I expected due to the fact that she's never died in the comics or she's never died in the, actually, as far as I know, because I haven't read a Spider-Man comic in a long time, but she, and the cartoons and all that stuff, Uncle Ben always has died. And there was really no Uncle Ben in this series.
Well, it's hard because if you have Uncle Ben, you've got to explain the rice, and I think they just wanted to avoid that.
Oh, so bad. Anyways.
You're welcome. Okay, moving on. We got to hit this quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, Aunt May got me the feels. I definitely was not expecting that. But to the same extent, with the way that they were using her in the film, I wasn't super surprised either.
No.
I didn't think it would come that way, but I guess it made a lot of sense for it to come that way.
Yeah.
So the end of the film, we have the big fight with the villains. Doc Ock has been changed. He's good now, so to speak. He ends up coming to help the three Spider-Men as they're taking on the other four villains. Each of the other villains all get healed. But unfortunately, in the end, the only way to prevent more chaos is for Doctor Strange to make everyone forget about Peter. And
well, that's the thing, is because at that point in time, there was those ripples were coming through, and you saw there was a lot of characters coming through there.
Yes.
A lot.
So spell gets cast. Everyone forgets Peter. And it's interesting. We see a scene at a cafe where Ned and MJ are talking and know each other. And Peter's there, and they definitely don't know him, don't recognize him. And Peter, rather than revealing himself, it seems like he's going to go down the path of not doing that.
That got me. And actually, you know what actually was weird at first? I almost thought they were going to do something where MJ and Ned had like ended up like talking and getting together or something like that. Cause now that Peter was out of the situation or whatever. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I was like, when I saw her walking over, she was just giving him his donut or whatever. And I was like, no. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So film ends, Peter's on his own, going to get his GED. It looks like, yeah. Got his own apartment and going to figure out how to be Spider-Man without letting anybody know who he is.
Here's my biggest issue. Why did he make a new suit? Why? Cause you can't.
Why not?
I just think that nano suit was dope.
And he probably still has it, and he'll probably use it again. It might've been taken, you know, he might've had to give it up to Happy or the government or something. Who knows? I don't got time to worry about that kind of stuff. I'm but post-credit scene, really quickly, you've got our boy Venom. Well, I guess he's in his human form, Eddie Brock, chilling at a bar, asking questions about all the stuff that's gone on in the MCU, trying to understand what's happening. And then clearly we have Doctor Strange's spell happen, and he gets teleported back to his universe. But he leaves a little bit of himself behind.
Yeah.
We see some symbiote on the bar top.
Yeah.
So I already know that there have been the announcements that there's going to likely be another three films. Tyrus, great question. How did that symbiote stay behind? I'd like to know myself. I hope that gets explained. Well, and what we do know about that alien DNA is that it's been around for hundreds of thousands of years across multiple universes.
So that's
how they're able to recognize someone that wasn't even in their current universe, so to speak. Yeah, so it'll be curious to see where it goes. I definitely feel like we're going to see Venom at some point in the next three films. I hope they don't just blow it on the next film out, which is already in production.
And then this is side note, we still got Morbius coming out, and that apparently has Vulture in it.
Yes, Morbius comes out in January. And the last thing I'm going to say is, and we're not going to go into it right now, is if you haven't seen this film yet, go watch the What If series, because the true post-credit scene, which isn't a scene, it is a trailer for Doctor Strange 2 in the Multiverse of Madness. If you haven't seen What If, some of the stuff isn't going to make sense.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But if you have seen What If, it's going to make a whole lot more sense. And I think.
So awesome.
Yes. We will talk about the true post-credit scene on next week's episode. But yeah, go watch What If and go watch Hawkeye, because tomorrow's finale, I feel, is going to be hot.
Yeah. So I'm going to go watch that right now. I'm actually going to finish one thing I was watching, and then we'll go watch that.
All right. Well, I think it's time to wrap it. It's been real.
This has been real fun. I don't care what you say. I enjoyed this. I enjoyed every minute of it. It was awesome.
Yeah. I feel like maybe we need to have Tyrus come on for an episode at some point in the future, because I think he appreciates this stuff as much as us. So
yeah, I think, you know what? Hey, Tyrus, hit us up. I think we need to bring you in. Bring you in, and we'll chat live.
Well,
if you can.
With that, it's been real. It's been fun. I don't care what you say. It has not been real fun.
I don't care what you say. It has been real fun.
We'll see you real soon.
Oh, Merry Christmas, guys.
Oh, yeah. We're not back before Christmas. So Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad.
And Happy Kwanzaa, too.
Bye.
Goodbye. Yeah,